Plan tonight is teaching disciples. The last time we spoke before Christmas, I can't remember, it was November, I think, in the talk back, we were looking at the whole idea of making disciples. It's kind of is the trajectory, as it were. If you can imagine that what we were doing last time is this kind of area here, evangelizing, witnessing the convert, how we make disciples, as it were. Tonight what we're looking at is how you take a convert and establish them as a disciple. As someone who comes to faith, and then how you establish them in the walk, as it were, of being a Christian and living it out. And then part of what we're doing is this tonight, we're doing the equipping, as it were. We're taking disciples to workers. So we're equipping and training in order to be able to help someone who is a convert establish as a disciple. Does that make sense? And then the next time we meet, or not the next time, February will be different, but in, what's the month after February? March. We'll be looking at how you, ongoing discipleship, how we go from just being disciples and how we live that out. So much more thinking about this next bit of working and training, but also how we do ongoing discipleship. So tonight we're just looking at that whole area of taking a convert and making them a disciple, how we teach them, how we establish them. In that.
Well, I've heard the dotted ones. Are they for disciples witnessing and workers witnessing?
Yes, so just in thinking, yeah, is that the disciple, once you've got a disciple established, they should be able to witness and evangelize. Once you've trained and equipped a worker, they should be able to do evangelism and also establish a convert. Exciting, hey? I nicked it from Leroy Hems' book on discipleship. It's not mine, but I think it's quite a helpful, just kind of a model of where we're going. So just for recap, when we're talking about making disciples, last time we talked a lot about the values that we as elders have been talking about. So we said, look, there's an urgent need for people to hear the good news about Jesus Christ because all men are lost without him. We said we're called by Christ to go into the world, making disciples and teaching them to obey. This is the mission of the church and the way we bring glory to God. All disciples are called to engage and contribute in some way to making disciples, and we all have a role to play in fully using the gifts and opportunity God gives us. Then we add a value, carried on, value two, that gospel, yeah, so part of that is gospel proclamation, preaching and evangelistic events. We said some have particular gifts and some may be called to a more focused role as an evangelist. We talked about personal testimony, response to questions, provoked by changed lives. Relationships where the love of Christ can be demonstrated and discussed, being a powerful apologetic, advert and authentication of the gospel. And we talked about prayer and financial support as well as that part of that mission of making disciples. We also recognise, value three, that we recognise the sovereignty of God, that he calls and gives new life, but also our responsibility to be faithful gospel tellers and to expect fruit. And then value four, we mission is both local and global, from our neighbours to the nations, neither should be neglected, and we should prayerfully desire and expect the Holy Spirit to call individuals from the church to mission other places or churches. So they're the values that are underpin all that we're talking tonight in terms of making disciples and then establishing disciples. And what I want us to think about is this whole idea of teaching disciples, because at the heart of what we're desiring as a church this year is to see disciples made, to see people won for the Lord Jesus and converted and baptized. And in this context, you know, we're talking about conversions. We're seeing people move from a life of following idols to following the true and living God. It's that picture in 1 Thessalonians 1 where Paul says about the Thessalonians, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Excuse me. Too many licorice all sorts beforehand. And if that is our heart, if that is our prayers for this year, if we want to see people go from worshipping idols to worshipping the true and living God, if we want to establish them in what it means to follow the true and living God, then we need to do some hard thinking about what we do when people are converted. In other words, how do you care for them? How do we disciple them? Who's going to do it? And we want to do the hard thinking and the preparation now rather than when people are converted. We want to be ready. We don't want to do a Man United and go and panic buy. We want to be ready. You've got to think pregnancy in this sense. So it's 9 months for a baby to grow. And in those 9 months, from the moment you find out to the moment the baby is born, you get ready. You don't kind of leave it until the baby's been born to suddenly think about, oh my goodness me, what we need. What we need a pushchair, and we need a car seat, and we need baby grows, and we need wipes and nappies and goodness knows what else. No, you start to prepare in those 9 months. And in that sense, that's what we're trying to do now, is we're beginning to prepare for, as it were, new believers, infants who are born into the faith, and how we care for them. And so we want to be ready for that as they arrive and as they're converted. How do we help them and establish them? And you need to do the hard thinking now, not when they start turning up. It's not a biblical analogy. It's not something that you can prove in Scripture. But I think it's true that the Lord seems to bless those churches, or seems to allow churches who are ready for this and who are prepared to look after his new ones, converts, more than, say, if you're not ready. I don't think there's a biblical warrant to that. I don't think there's a promise attached to that. But I think it just seems to be that if you're ready, if you're prepared, if you're able to care for new converts, then the Lord seems to bless you with new converts. And so we want to be ready so that when new believers come, we can help them. And there are some areas that new believers will need help with. They're going to need protection. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And so when someone stands and makes a commitment to following Jesus, of course, Satan will seek to entice them back to their old paths. And so we need to protect them by discipling them. Of course, praying for them as well. It's not just what we do. Of course, we recognize it's much more the spiritual work of the Father. But we have a role to play in discipling and helping them, and helping them to resist temptation. We need to help protect them. Believers will need fellowship. As I was preparing this, my first thought went to 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. But then my mind was drawn to Acts 2. Remember the story? Peter has preached. He's called people to repentance, and we read verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And the very next verse is verse 42, funny that, and it reads, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So immediately there's many who are converted. The very next thing we read is that they're committed to teaching and fellowship. In other words, new converts cannot go it alone. They need other believers around them. And for many converts, particularly in the age we live, will now come from non-Christian families, non-Christian backgrounds. They will spend a large majority of their time with non-Christians, with people who unintentionally and intentionally will be seeking to pull them away from following Christ. They're going to need others around them. It's obvious, isn't it? They're going to need fellowship. They're going to need food. Think again about newborn babies. They need food. They crave milk. Spiritual babies need the same regularity in their feeding. That's what Peter says in his letter 1 Peter 2. He says, like newborn babies, craves pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Again, Acts 2, 42, what happens? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And of course, the food they will crave, the milk, is that of the Word of God. So we're going to need people who will be able to answer the questions of the new believer by taking them to the Bible and teaching them to feed themselves. They're going to need food. They're going to need training. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul says, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. In other words, new believers are going to have to learn to know what it will mean to obey Jesus and to follow him. They're going to need training to think about how they use their money, their time, think about their relationships. It's going to be training in all these various ways of living the Christian life, particularly if they're coming from non-Christian backgrounds, non-Christian families. And importantly, as we teach them and train them in what it is to live the Christian life, it's important that we don't teach them legalism. That is, that now that you are saved, you must obey to stay. But that such living flows from grace. So Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope. It's grace, isn't it, that motivates and shapes our godly living, and we're going to have to train people in that so they understand that. And they're going to need the gospel. They're going to need to help them to see that the Christian life never moves from the gospel. It never moves from repentance and faith. That we can do nothing without abiding in him. Abiding in Jesus is what shapes all that we do. In Jesus' words in John 15, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And with those kind of five areas in our mind, so the need protection, need fellowship, need food, need training, need the gospel, what I want us to do is to spend 20 minutes or so in small groups thinking about putting together, as it were, a course or what you would do if a new believer came to you. What would you teach them? What would be some of the things that you would want to instruct them in? Maybe it's a one-to-one training program. Maybe it's a discipleship course. What key things would you want to impart? What key truths and doctrines? What key habits? What key understanding of the gospel life needs to be shared? How would you do this? How long might the course last? Who would you get to do it? Okay, let's discuss as a wider body. I think it's fair to say there isn't a correct answer, but it's good for you to know that I do have a little handout here with a course guide. You can take that as the correct answer, but it's really not. It'd be good just to go through. There is going to be a spectrum, okay? So people are going to see things differently between whether a course is good or whether you do one-to-one, whether you do both. How long will differ as well. For some, they'll say something that's 6 weeks. Leroy, in his book on disciple making, has a 30-week program. So you kind of got a big range there. So we'll start with Nick's group. I guess the first thing, I don't know how the best way to do this. Let's do content. Just give us some of the content ideas first that you would want, okay? And then we'll talk about length and details. Nick's answer to the whole thing was, you just got on the SGP course. That was what they were initially saying. A year's plan. Name one thing. We'll go with a couple of things from your group. What were the first thing you'd want a new believer to come up with or know? So know Christ. Gospel, yep.
And pray and have a relationship with God.
Okay, pray. Next group, do you want to just keep going, just keep bouncing things around? What would you want to
do? Discipline in terms of establishing habits, such as prayer.
Handwriting gets worse. I can't fit it in. That'll do. The next group, have you got anything else? The next thing, I'm giving two each. We'll just keep going around the groups until we get everything there.
Teaching about the church body.
Yep. This group.
Forgiveness and grace.
We'll go with just one. Yeah, go.
God's big picture.
Yeah. Graham's group?
I don't know if this has sort of already been covered, but gospel basics.
So sin, what was that, cross?
Trinity.
Yeah, I'm smiling at the idea of Trinity as a basic. It's good. Yeah. Yeah, we've got. Yeah, we've got.
Grace.
We've got.
Yeah, I think we've got.
Anything else? No? All of the above. Good answer, Dave. Last group, stun us with the last ones that we all missed.
That can be the one that articulate the gospel.
Okay, so can I just put evangelism, witnessing?
I'm thinking of our assurance.
Assurance. Yeah, anything else?
Baptism.
Sorry?
Baptism.
Oh, baptism. Yeah, yeah, well, it's part of discipline camps, I guess, but yeah. Anything else? You guys got anything else? Anything else anyone wants to add? Now, this is just a free-for-all. Go wild. Anything you want to...
Judgment.
You want to put judgment? Yeah. You're saved. Yeah.
Christian viewpoint on world issues.
Christian worldviews, yeah. Sorry there. Oh, good one, yeah. Well, now we're on a roll, aren't we, eh?
Have you got how you should live? How you should in the world, like how you should dress, how you should talk.
Holiness.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, slightly tied to habits, I guess, yeah. We just have a little dot there. I'm just going wild now. I'm having fun.
And you just spell out what sexual purity means.
Sexual purity, yep. Sorry? Serving, yeah.
Mission.
Oh. Yeah? Say? Sanctification. Yeah? Yeah? Let's go to some big words. Come on, people. Holiness, sanctification is all there. Great, yeah. All gifts, yeah, yeah. Sorry? Hannah's been on the SGP course.
What are the big and little numbers of the Bible mean?
Oh, you see? Oh, can't spell justification now, pardon? Okay, okay, explaining. Okay. Bible reading. Feeling the love, people. Sorry? Oh, cost. Good one, yeah. Okay, so how many weeks are we going to do all this in?
Some
30 weeks.
Until they can disciple someone else.
Oh, until they can disciple someone else. It's quite a lot, isn't it, in terms of thinking through all that you'd want. If you were going to highlight top six, would you have a top six? Or would you say, no, you've got to do it all? What would what? Do it all.
I think you'd need to order it so that, like Jess said, check with a Christian. So you'd order it with a very fundamental start about their experience. Stop the rest of the course, but just check the basics of whether they actually trust that Jesus has died for their sins and that he is their Saviour. And then you would maybe sculpt it slightly differently for the person, but you might have a basic start where you establish them as a Christian and what they already know.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the value between a course and a one-to-one? Does any, anyone have a discussions on those kind of things?
Or even a two-to-one.
Or two-to-one? Okay, so we shy away from a course, but we think like one-to-ones. Okay, who do we think should be doing this?
Christians. Their friends.
Christian. Okay.
In the fellowship, Christian
within the church,
yeah.
Okay.
Depends how many new converts you have in the church at any one time. I mean, I came into faith among a group of them, and the onwards, what you're describing here, was a very valuable time in my life as a small group. I don't think I would have gained any more by having it as a once a month.
Okay. So how many were in your small group? How long did it go for?
Through my sixth form, I suppose. A couple of years, I guess.
Okay.
Quite informally, but...
And kind of all these kind of topics, yeah.
Did you self-facilitate, or did you have someone...
No, we had people like Alan Butler, a couple of as a leader, and doing it.
Okay. Yeah. I guess, in one sense, this supplements, isn't it, a community group kind of lifestyle. Yeah, Carolyn?
I think it may just need to be at some stage, if it started as a group, individually tailor-made, a bit further down the line, if someone's struggling with quite a few issues, you may say, well, we'll meet us in a one-to-one. Do you see what I mean? One mission, take off that person.
Okay, so you might start as a group and then go into a one-to-one.
Because it may be working as a group, or they may not be coming that so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a group with similar backgrounds, so they all grew up in church or something, then that works quite well. Or if they're all completely unchurched, it'd be a similar tailoring.
Sure. You
know, if you had guys who knew lots of basics and grown up in church, and people had no idea, I think that'd be quite tricky to do.
Yeah.
I think what you don't want to do is have a sort of professional approach where you say you do this course and then it's over. So, however you structure it, you want the course.
Yeah. Just out of interest, how many people here have experienced a one-to-one, i.e. have had someone do a one-to-one Bible reading with them? Okay. How many have done one-to-ones, and so led that one-to-one with people? Okay. So, similar. How many people would feel confident to do this kind of thing with a new believer? Everyone's like, well, it might. Did you get those names, Graham? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. What I think we do now is I've got this course. I'd like you to have a look through it. Having all that in mind, what are the holes? What are the pluses? What are the disadvantages, advantages of, I say this as a course, this is a kind of a one-to-one thing. Have a look, see, pick the holes, find the flaws, and then we'll develop it for later on. So take some on them, and then we're going to think a little bit after this about the profile of a disciple. Note any differences, things you'd change, what's missing, what is in there that you did not have? Okay, so what did we comments? Sorry.
Just around whether you need to talk about sin more or need to be in.
Yeah.
We were established as sinners, born like sinners and
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. We are assuming that they're Christians, but if you're talking about everything else that's quite obvious anyway, you need to talk about that as well. But Paul did agree with me, so.
Yeah.
I think for non-believers, it's fair enough to be an hard thing, but there's some stuff you can believe a bit more.
Sorry,
what's the process then? Because I was about to interrupt. Sorry.
We'll discuss this first point, then we'll move on to another. There's no real process, Graham. Just going with it.
Sorry, I was just, in week 7, you've got avoiding temptation to sin. Should maybe expand on sin at that point.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. It's whether it needs to be earlier. Yeah. Are you moving on? Moving on to another point, Graham. Are you on the sin? Yeah, and imagine when you're looking at Romans 5, 6 to 11, you're kind of having to deal with those issues. But maybe it needs to be more explicit. Yeah, thank you. Take us on, Graham.
Just like was said on this, but emphasizing grace a lot.
Yeah.
We love. I know particularly Dave found understanding grace very helpful in his Christian growth.
Younger. Sorry, both are young. Okay, yeah. I mean, there is, yeah, I think it touches on grace, but it may need to be more explicit on grace again. Yeah. Beth, ladies first.
We weren't sure whether reading Christian books should be so high in the sort of priority, maybe it should be moved down, but then we talk about gender.
Sure. Yeah. It's one of those, isn't it? It's trying to establish things early on. But again, there's no, in one sense, right or wrongs. You know, you're kind of, and partly, of course, like this would mean that you would do it with the person. So if you had someone who was a keen reader, then you would kind of emphasize it early on. But you would also emphasize it again. Yeah, thanks, Keith. Nick.
I think we're just far too much in it for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. It's quite good to cover fairly quickly in terms of the key things in Christian life, but it's just very too much depth. So I mean week three, Bible reading, memorizing God's word, isn't there? That could be a whole depth.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a fair point, right?
There is, you know, from our sort of flip chart, there is so much you want to do. The temptation is to try to do too much of it too fast.
Yeah, and it might be that in one sense what this is a kind of a model of just a one-to-one that you would do over a whole year, and you just take the weeks out and just kind of work through it. Absolutely.
This wouldn't happen in isolation. This would happen with the rest of the church life experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sunday's community group.
Yes.
I think what I'd say is if you were going to say do this over a year, I think I wouldn't want to. I'd rather take one key thing out of do those up front.
Sure.
Rather than be taking sort of 3 months over.
Yeah, yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
The top end.
Yeah.
And then it takes you a year before you've got the bottom.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's fair.
You have to think the idea of actually, you have to keep going over the same ground, but in greater depth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was going to say a similar thing about that we weren't sure whether there's 7 months to cover this stuff quite effectively.
Yeah, again, it's one of those, isn't it, where I think you work with where you are, but you, I mean, it's not, none of these are right or wrong in that sense. You know, some people would go with that, others would go with that, but yeah, it's not that it's, but it's helpful.
I think it's quite difficult to do this kind of thing, because you might have in your mind your own one-to-one, or people you think about one-to-one with, and it's what we went over before, if someone you know you've grown up in church all their lives, and you know they know the Bible over you, then you wouldn't worry so much about it.
Sure. Absolutely. I think the thing is if you are bringing in non-believers, giving them a Bible overview quickly, that over quickly does it, enables them to content all the other stuff they're doing as well. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it, in terms of...
Yeah, those, you know. For some people, they would have never looked up a Bible reference. And so how do you get to a Bible reference? And we assume Bible references are something just used, but there will be people that would be one-to-one disciples. You wouldn't have a clue what that means.
Yeah.
In terms of something up, where is it? What's this obvious?
Yeah.
Connected
with that, supporting that, saying it, you could do this content, but with some people introducing this at the beginning, you might completely throw them. So if you said we're going to do this course with all this,
sure, yeah, yeah,
that would be like, wow. Once you're in it, that'd be fine, but actually be careful about kind of overwhelming someone by saying this is the course we're about to embark on.
Yeah, I mean, partly this, in one sense, is, yeah, no, that's helpful. And in one sense, this is the cheat sheet for us, you know. So you may go, actually, we'll just work through some of these issues. But yeah, I mean, what do you think, Dave?
I think
respect
savings by the
way. Well, you know. Well, we can. Again, I mean, all these, you know, this isn't written in stone. This is just a discussion for us to kind of think through and help adjust. But yeah, it's a helpful, it's a pretty little picture as well.
Katie was suggesting that the week 5 should be earlier so that once we've established the gospel, they start telling others about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was also just, the only reason I've said it on Katie's behalf was just thinking to add each week, if it is by week or whatever time frame, that you try and encourage them to say, if you've learned about grace, who are you telling about grace? If you've learned about Bible reading, who are you telling about your Bible reading? Just so that they're actually actioning what they're learning about as well. So
absolutely.
That might help.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think partly the exercise begins to show just how difficult it is to start to really know what it is we do and what order we do it in and how much you want to get across and the wise way. But the reality is that we know the kind of things we want to be teaching. It's just trying to design that for, in one sense, for the individual we're discipling. But there have been helpful comments because obviously we'll go back and refine this. I mean, I think one of the big issues that this is missing is assurance and actually spending some time on assurance. And if you're familiar with the navigators, they have a number of helpful material. One of the stuff that they go through early is assurance of victory, assurance over, assurance of salvation, unanswered prayer, etc.
Something that we've not mentioned, which I think might actually, some people might view as a basic, is union with Christ.
Yeah.
Which we probably just don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
So you read the New Testament before.
Absolutely.
The idea that you died with Christ and you're risen with Christ seems sort of Gospel 101.
Yeah, no, fair point.
Also allowing people to ask questions as well. And, you know, it's all right to ask questions or have doubts and, you know, be able to, because I know, you know, that being brought up in a Christian home, sometimes things are a sheen and you're like, well, do I dare ask a question about this?
Sure. No, it's right, absolutely, Lane Room. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that with people growing up in church, they're the worst at asking the questions that they actually have, because I grew up in this church, basically. And even now you find yourself thinking, actually, I'm just assuming I understand the answer to that, because I've never had to question it. It's weird. So I think if you're sculpting someone who's grown up in church, it's making sure that they don't just give you the answer they've heard, but it's the answer they actually understand and actually believe.
Absolutely. Which is part of what we were saying at the beginning, isn't it? That part of the first thing is that we have to be challenged by this, that we grasp a lot of these fundamental truths for ourselves.
I was just going to say, with my teacher's hat on, it's not what we teach, it's what they learn. And that would really need to be a strong emphasis, that actually we may have sound knowledge and a good way to articulate it, but it's actually does that person that we're with learn it.
Sure.
Any guidance for us,
I would
encourage that sort of approach as well.
Yeah, no, thank you. One of the areas that we don't have, bang on, we didn't actually put up there, is scripture memory and learning verses of scripture. Just out of interest, this isn't a takedown or note thing, how many went through a rigorous kind of learning memory verses as a new believer? Heather, Jess, just two. How many, just again?
Do you remember?
Come on. Yeah, yeah. Everyone else. Notice I didn't put my own hand up at that point. Is it still part of their ongoing walk? How many of us are learning memory verses, scripture? Just out of interest. So a few. Scripture learning is a valuable exercise I've discovered. And this, let me recommend, is a topical memory system of memory verses that are really helpful to learn. Now, the great thing about this is that it has a number of different areas. You learn lots of verses, and you get a very funky little brown wallet, can I say, with little rip-out cards at the back that you can then put in said wallet so that you have them in your pocket and you can just learn them any time. So if you'd like to think about joining the topical memory system revolution, can I say, this is a great thing. Come and learn some scripture and have them in your pocket and then spend your time just going up to people you know are learning it with you and testing them. Can you remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, Jim? No, I'm just joking. There you go, you see? Look at that. Do you see the fun you can have? I'm so glad Jim didn't ask me. I'd have to go. But keep it in your pocket. So anyway, that's just a little by the side. They're $4.99. And more than welcome, we can order some of those if people are interested. But it's just a little helpful little thing, just have it in your pocket and learn scripture. I was going to get us into groups again, but maybe we'll just talk it out loud as a bigger group. The whole thing as well, isn't it, you kind of think is to also think about in the end, and I've got some handouts for you guys, is to think about what is the profile of a growing disciple of Jesus would look like. So it's all very well thinking about, okay, we want to teach a disciple and help them, but what is it we're aiming for? And so I just want to spend a few minutes at the end just kind of thinking about that. Can I just... Right, profile of a disciple. we're on those slides, you can see it there. Just thinking about... what it is, and these are just some ideas, really, as we finish. As a follower of Jesus, you're hoping they'll be putting Christ first in the major areas of their lives and are taking steps to separate from sin. You begin to hope to see some of that change, wouldn't you? That they would continue in the Word through such means of intake as Bible study and Scripture memory. They're regularly seeking to apply the Word to their lives with the help of the Holy Spirit. They maintain a consistent devotional life and are growing in faith and intercessory prayer. They attend church regularly and demonstrate Christ's love by identifying with and serving other believers. They openly identify themselves with Jesus Christ where they live and work. They are manifesting a heart for witnessing, able to give their testimony clearly, present the gospel regularly with increasing effectiveness. They are learners who are open and teachable. And they are visible followers and learners of Jesus Christ and demonstrate a consistency and faithfulness in all of the above areas. Anything you'd want to add to that straight off the bat, just in 30 seconds?
It would be good to see, like Jess was saying, or someone was saying about that they're discipling other people who are part of being a disciple.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, if the mission of the church is to make disciples, then there has to be a hunger there, doesn't there, for that? Again, this is just help. This is just really helping us to think through, okay, what is it we're trying to achieve? What is it we're trying to see? All of this is very hard to actually measure, isn't it? It's very hard to measure these things in a really accurate manner, but they're helpful things to kind of give us a pointers. They're kind of helpful things to say, okay, am I seeing these things happening? And if I'm not, okay, are there things that I'm missing? Are there things that I need to change? And I guess the question is for yourself is how would you measure up against such a profile? Now, how would you, as a believer, as a disciple, measure up? And are there areas that you need to think, okay, well, things I need to change?
I think it'd be good to say something about growing knowledge of God, deepening convictions about God. the emphasis here is quite heavy on what they do, but the foundation is actually knowing who God is and having convictions that what the Bible says about God is really true and practice.
Yep. Right. Any other comments, questions? Yeah, Claudia. I guess you started by saying a new Christian, or do you mean just a Christian?
Somebody who, okay. Who's sort of, 10 years, something like that, down the road sort of thing, but hasn't had really very much experience in that, and has been decided
one-to-one,
but, wants to start, but
has
no idea.
Yeah. It's a good question. A lot of it is in one sense, you learn as you go. So you find resources and you just get together with someone and you just start doing it. And as you do and you prepare and you pray, you learn in doing, just kind of doing. I think in order to start that, I think for any of us, the obvious places are within the communities where we live, community groups, maybe talk with community group leaders about people you can be discipling and getting alongside. I think we want to be praying for opportunities. Praying that the Lord would bring people that we can do this with and disciple, and praying for converts and praying for opportunities, and then praying for boldness to then step up and to take that. And like anything, isn't it, we've got to be prepared. And so part of preparing is reading books on discipleship that are helpful and get us thinking in those ways that enable us to do that. But praying for opportunities, speaking with leaders who can point in the direction. So it may be within the youth work is another area that we're doing. I think just preparing ourselves and then just getting on with it is the bottom line. I don't know what anyone else wants to add.
Just to say, if you've been discipled to serve one-on-one, then one good practice might be to think back through what you've done, things that you can't help, or just get yourself thinking.
Yeah.
That was your training, really. That's the whole Christian life, isn't it? That we have something modeled to us, and then we model it to other people, and then model it to other people. So it's not to be too worried.
Well, I think you learn on as you go in one sense, but yeah.
When I first
started doing it, I used to prepare for it, and then practice on a friend who was already a Christian, and then she would feedback on me and say, "This is really helpful," and it was just
great
idea.
First go at it.
Yeah, great. That's the other way is to go on a dry run with another believer.
Someone you can't mess up to.
Yeah, exactly. That's really helpful. Thank you. Good idea. So that's a way. Yeah. Well, the person who discipled you start discipling them. Anything else? Any other comments? Anything you want to? Sure.
How when you're discipling someone, should be helping them to be able to figure this stuff out for themselves. So you're not just feeding them your aspect and everything. So by the time you finish discipling someone, they should kind of naturally pick up those skills anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of the training, isn't it? That you teach them how to read the Bible. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it links in with that. So it's going to say it's worth recognising that what is learnt in part will be what you are modelling as well as what you're teaching.
Yeah.
So you might be, the subject might be justification by faith, but you're also at the same time, how you do that will model something. If they ask you a question, don't just reel off the right answer, but say, it might be right to say, well, what do you think, or where would we go, or let's look at what the Bible says, so that you're actually modelling, digging into the Bible.
Yeah, and this, yeah.
That sort of thing. So, and if that's where then you are also, you're training the person, how they can decide somebody else.
Yeah, very helpful.
There's no right discipleship style as well. So if I think back through, I've been always going to church, basically. And I think back some of the really great Christian men who taught stuff or discipled to us, whether it was through teaching groups or whatever. And you have some who are really focused on wisdom and discipline, and some who are focused on other things. And you sort of, it builds up a real bigger picture in general from lots of people discipling you. You don't have to nail it on the only discipleship this person's ever going to have. You need to do what God's given you the ability to do. It's to sort of be fairly comfortable with that's what you've got. Other people might be brilliant at theology, and they'll get theology from them. You don't have to worry that you're going to be the perfect discipler.
I mean, this is why, in one sense, there's a quote in there that you're trying to hit some certain things, particularly in the early days, and then obviously it goes from there. But I think tonight is just really the whole encouragement. It's about getting alongside people and establishing them as Christians. It's not just what we teach them, it is how we model it and live it, and they will listen to how we pray, and they will follow how we pray, and they will listen and see how we study the Bible and read the Bible and how we answer questions, and they will then begin to pick that up, because that's how we grow as Christians. And so it is, fundamentally. But I can't not underline how important this is. There was a mission done at the church where we served in Warwick, and they had a number of people come forward on the evening, one of the big events. A number came forward. They had a number of guys who were responsible for following up. One guy was particularly good at it in terms of he consistently and persistently prayed for those who he was to follow up and met with them. And out of everyone, the ones he followed up are still living the Christian life, whilst others had fallen away because they just hadn't had the kind of follow-up. Now, of course, God is sovereign in all these things and could work, but it is a very telling sign that the follow-up is key. They need protection, they need food, they need fellowship. And so just kind of underline the importance of this work and actually having a heart for it and a desire to do this, because it's fundamental to the Christian life and going on from there.
I was just going to say that these slides and your course are available with the talk from this evening on the website. So if anyone wants to start anything, obviously we've got paper copies in the table. If they want to start with anybody, anyone in the church, practice, anyone on the fringe of the church that you see on a Sunday morning evening, not sure if they're a Christian or not, and follow up with them, feel absolutely free. Don't wait to be told or asked.
No, absolutely.
So all the material is available on the website.
And we probably look to tweak the course in light of the comments tonight, in light of our discussions, and then we'll publish a more final version. But thank you.